I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. And I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Now is the time to build generational wealth that is both sustainable and good for our planet. Our guest, sustainable investing expert Sarah Bengston, will share what you need to know about investing sustainably while earning a good return in this very special summer reboot episode. This episode is definitely worth a second listen. I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money Podcast, and I'm so excited to bring you this episode.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur Shauna Compton-Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
I talked about this in the interview with Sarah, but I can remember even a few years ago interviewing some guests for the show about sustainable investing. And the message was, well, you might have to give up some return if you want to invest in sustainable funds. I mean, it wasn't the perfect scenario, but my friends, that is no longer the case. Sarah, who runs Money Meets Soul, is a sustainable investing expert and is dropping some serious truth bombs in this episode. She is sharing everything you need to know about sustainable investing, why it's here to stay, how you can build wealth investing sustainably, and of course, how you get started. So here we go. I shared before we started recording that my husband, who was married prior, this is not a secret on this show, was actually married to a Swede and
oddly enough, we had gone over to Sweden, not to see her, but to visit the country because my husband had been many times and loved Sweden. And I fell in love with your custom of fika, stopping midday to have a coffee and a sweet or whatever it may be. I just thought, why in the world do we not all have this custom?
Yeah, I mean, it's typically coffee and some kind of sweet that you eat. And I really love that tradition. I remember when I first started working in the financial industry, they actually told me that, well, if you don't drink coffee already now, you have to start drinking because everyone that you will talk to, they will ask you if you want a fika. That's essentially how we do business in Sweden. It's over coffee. It's very much more relationship based than anywhere else in the world, I think.
I love that though, because I think, I don't know, there's something, maybe it's a daunting experience for you, but there's something about the way we do things here in the US, which a lot of people I think would agree is very rushed and you don't get to know people and there really isn't that relationship aspect. So I think that's fascinating that it's done that way.
Yeah, I really like that. But it also takes a lot of, I mean, knowledge and expertise, because you have to be able to have a real conversation with someone. You can't hide behind, you know, standardized phrases or a mask. It's impossible.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. I mean, I guess there's a give and take with anything. well, you had reached out to me and you are very passionate about a topic that I think all of us could relate to. And I just knew I needed to have you on the show. This idea of you say building generational and sustainable wealth, which I think is something that at least everyone listening to this podcast is definitely familiar with and would love to know how to do that. But tell me a little bit about, what does this mean to you? What does it mean to build generational and sustainable wealth?
You know, the gender pay gap is getting smaller, but the wealth gap is getting wider. And one of the biggest reasons for that is investing. And I think that a lot of us has taken a stance, especially given the past few years, the emergence or the entering or coming into, I don't know how to say that, how the bigger understanding we have about the climate crisis, that, you know, investing is kind of the mecca of greed and destruction of the world. And that's why when I've been working in the financial industry for quite some time, and a few years ago, this trend of sustainable investing started to emerge. So I started to look into that, and that's what I'm doing now. It's about how can we build wealth that is sustainable both for us as people and how we want to live our lives, but also for the planet and all the people that are on it. And I think that's the real key when it comes to this. And I mean, there's around 12 trillion American dollars that is in funds now, that is actually the sole purpose is to deliver returns and making the world a better place. We wouldn't have seen that. It's four times as much as a decade ago, which is kind of amazing. But this is only because of us, because we are demanding it. We're asking for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what is driving the change? Is it just younger people saying, you know, we need to take better care of our world, we need to figure out better solutions, and really forcing companies to get in this or get in these different
Yes.
You know, sustainable ways, I should say.
We're gaining much broader awareness of, you know, how we've been acting in the past has affected the world. Just look at 2020. I mean, the world is never going to be the same after the past year. And if we just look at some statistics, we can say that, right, you know, millennials, 90% of us would just switch a brand to support a specific cause. We start put demands and asking more from companies. And that's essentially what investing is. I don't think we should look at investing as, oh, we're investing in the stock market. This is this foreign land of numbers and letters. And, you know, we put it there, we don't know what's happening with it. Because what we actually do is we invest in companies. And companies are the thing that build and drives our world. And when we ask more of them, then that can actually make the world, you know, a better place. That's what we're going to get.
Yeah, I so agree with that. And I love your perspective, obviously different from an American perspective, because I think a lot of people, when it comes to investing, just in general speaking, can be a little nervous. They don't know what to invest in. We hear cryptocurrency, or we hear all of these different trends kind of emerge. And a lot of times we don't know a lot about them, but we feel some sort of urge to put money in them. Sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't go well. But your perspective, from a more global perspective, I think is really interesting, that globally speaking, a lot of people see the stock market full of greed in general. And maybe that's just a global perspective that I think is really interesting to examine.
Well, I definitely agree. I mean, there is a lot of talk about capitalism as being something bad, and that it's essentially right. The capitalism's fault that we have the climate crisis. And on some parts of that, I agree, but we cannot forget that through capitalism, we've actually lifted, billions of lives out of poverty. And essentially, capitalism is only as bad as we are. And when we start, I think the biggest problem here is that we have a tendency to separate ourselves from our money. I mean, people are pretty good at saying that, when you deal with your money, just separate your emotions. Don't think about it. Just go purely out of numbers. But what happens when we do that is that, money and how we spend our money, just spending or investing, that's one of the major ways where we can express who we are and what we value. So we need to have this connection between what we care about and how we spend our money. And that's essentially the same with investing, because, I think that a lot of people has understood that. Millennials, the statistics say that 88% of people. Okay, so I'm going to say this, but when we put a lot more effort into companies, but today, for example, we say that 88% of millennials, they want to work for a company who is aligned with their own values. That's the same approach we need to take to all our other aspects of money, including investing.
I so agree with you. And I guess the follow-up question is, if maybe I've been an investor that is, say, I don't want to use the word lazy, but maybe I don't know every place my money is invested in. How do I begin to figure out, A, where my money is? Do I want it in those particular companies or funds? And then figure out the places that I do want my money. How do I begin to make that shift?
I mean, one thing that we have to remember is that investing has never been as accessible for, the average human being as it is today. And one thing that they managed to gatekeep pretty well, though, is the education and knowledge around investing. So, what we need to start doing is that you can look at it in two ways. You can look at funds, index funds, that it's being used a lot today, or you can look at stocks itself. And I don't really know which one you want to talk more about, but I think that when you start investing, you start looking at index funds, because that is the general consensus of the market as of right now. But I just want to say that what a lot of people don't understand is that, when you invest in an index like the S&P 500, it essentially means that you own a small part of all the 500 biggest companies in the US. And that's a good thing. But it also includes companies that deal with fossil fuels, which is the exact reason that we're having a climate crisis. You deal with companies who have been fined and they're involved with, violations of rights of indigenous people, of other types of human rights and international laws violations. There's just stuff that, is all hidden and all buried that we don't really know about. There are some companies that put up this red list of companies not to invest in, or that doing bad things for the world. And I think that we should really take a closer look at them, because there's a lot of work being done for us. It's just not out there for the common eye to see.
Mm, Interesting. Are there index funds specifically around like sustainable companies or sustainable investing? Or does that not quite exist yet?
Yeah, there's so much out there. I mean, you know, back in the day, about 5 years ago when we were talking about this, they were all saying that, oh, well, you know, if we want to invest sustainably, you know, people don't care about that. People just care about performance. They just, as long as it goes up, no one questions anything. But today we can actually see that sustainability, it plays a part in every type, in the entirety of a business and the entire ecosystem. So if we look at, there's so many, the first thing you can do is that when you look at a fund, look for the letters ESG. It's an acronym that is being used when it comes to sustainability and investing, which essentially stands for environmental, social, and governance. So these rating systems, they put scores on companies depending on, you know, what effect they have on the climate, how much pollution they generate, and how they treat their workers, and, you know, data security, all of those things. And then a lot of index funds that has these ESG, what they do is that they just screen out the companies who are doing poor in these areas. And last year, if we just look at an S&P 500 index fund with ESG, they're actually overperforming the normal S&P 500 index. And that's kind of...
Really?
Yes. So we don't have to, you know, look at, okay, do I have to sacrifice my conscience for performance? No. We don't have to do that anymore because that is the future.
Wow. Yeah, because even just a few years ago, I did a few episodes on sustainable investing. And I remember that conversation of, well, you might give up some return, and that's kind of the catch 22. And do you want to do this? Do you not want to do this? And so I find it so exciting that we're in a time where that conversation no longer exists. It's just investing, and it's deciding how you want to invest and that you can still get a great return.
Yes, exactly. If we look at, you know, longer term studies, because that's essentially what is interesting here. There was one that I just want to mention real quick that was actually one that was started with the sustainability reports of companies in 1993. And then they looked at how these companies were performing in 2009. And the companies who had the highest, you know, highest scoring sustainability reports, they were also the ones who significantly outperformed their peers when it came to performance on the stock market. So there's something to say about that now. Just look at Tesla during last year. Tesla is also a company that is saving the planet. And now people are starting to realize, oh, these new technologies, there's money in that. So that's also why we see this.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and
365-day returns. Quince.com/ETM. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
What are some of the what are some of the trends when it comes to investing sustainably? Are you looking at like renewables? Are you looking what sort of like industries or trends should you be looking at when you're thinking about investing?
Well, one of the major trends right now is, of course, the divesting from fossil fuels. That means that all the major funds throughout the world, they're actually taking their money away from oil and gas companies. And I mean, BlackRock is one of the largest asset management companies in the world. And they actually said that in the beginning of last year that they will start focusing more on sustainability as well. So what that means is that when we look at where the money is going right now, it's going towards things that will essentially save the planet. I mean, the European Union now as well, they said that they will invest $800 million in wind power. So those renewable trends are incredibly strong right now, but also when it comes to the things that we as people actually consume the most. So if you think about your budget, and the biggest parts of your budget is essentially housing and maybe your car, and those things are what we are pushing to be become more sustainable. So it's all about, again, we don't have to look at these high-tech, you know, super high-performing companies. We can just look at, okay, what do I do? What do I use? If I call myself a conscious consumer, then I can actually just get highlights and hints on where to look for or where to look for things through that.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I know that I've been doing that myself a lot. My husband and I, just how do we become more conscious consumers? How do we become more aware of our space, of where we live, of how we spend our money, of the cars we drive? I mean, you know, everything. You can get really minute down to it, but it does really open your eyes up to different companies, to different technology. And I think that that's really exciting, because I feel like we've done it the other way for so long, and it's not really working well for us as a world, I should say. I mean, it that isn't sustainable how we were doing things before.
No, it's not. Well, one of the issues when it comes to sustainable investing that is that not a lot of it is standardized yet. But given the trend, it will come pretty soon. Because right now, most of the things we're talking about, it's self-reported. That means that you have to have a big trust in the company, in their governance to begin with, to be able to trust what they're reporting. There's also a lot of companies who actually use this, you know, corporate social responsibility. That's a marketing term. And if you put that into the marketing budget instead of the core of the company, that also tells you a lot about what they actually stand for as a company, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And how would you even begin to figure that out? Is it just doing some digging into the company?
Yes, it is. But the thing is that what you can do, of course, if you have a big portfolio and you look at the companies, I don't think that everyone needs to know all 500 S&P 500 companies to be able to say, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. You know, the essential questions are still there. You know, do I understand how they make money? Do I agree with what they're doing? But also, do I agree in how they make money? Because, for example, a company like Amazon, you could say, you know, they're doing a lot of really positive things. They have started this, I think, $2 billion venture fund for, you know, essentially making the world a better place. But they're doing that while their core business, they're still underpaying their employees. So what do you care about? What's important to you?
Right.
For me, that last part overshadows the first one. But that's me. That doesn't say that I'm right about everything here, because we all had to look into ourselves and what we actually care about. And I've come to realize when I've been doing this work that the most scary questions that I ask people is just that. What do you care about? What matters to you?
And I think that's so important, because it goes back to that division with your money of being unconscious versus conscious. And I think so many of us, because we don't like to talk about money really, maybe it's stressful, maybe there's anxiety, and there's a lot of unconscious decisions that we make, spending, saving, all sorts of things. And we're all guilty of this. This isn't just highlighting one person, but it's what you're talking about is moving from that unconscious state to a really conscious state of figuring out those things. What do I want to invest in? What do I want to stand for? What is important? What do I want to spend my money on? I mean, all of those questions we tend to just brush over, but that's the really important stuff. I mean, to me, that's the meat of it.
Yeah. It is. And I think that that's why it's so important that, you know, we start talking more about money. There's a lot of phrases in investing or a lot of jargon. I don't know if that's the right English word.
Yes, that is.
Yeah,
that is.
That I just cannot stand, because I think that a lot of people just want to make things more complicated than it is. And I know that it's scary. I know it's your money, but you also can look at, you know, the biggest companies. For example, one of my favorite companies is Apple. And I can tell you, I will never sell my Apple stocks, but it's not, I know that they have had some scandals. They have some controversy, but the CEO, the way he acts around the climate crisis and their pledges into, you know, how they're going to make the world a better place, that is what matters most to me. And these are things that are kind of brushed over today when we look at investors. But the thing is that, as I told you in the beginning, we have today around $12 trillion in funds that will make the world a better place. And that is not because, you know, the financial industry wants to be good or have a good heart. That's because we're asking for it. So that's what we need to do. That's the first step. If you,
yeah,
maybe you don't want to invest by yourself, maybe you want to invest through, you know, a broker or a financial advisor, then ask them, is this sustainable? That's the easiest thing that you can do. Or how do you define sustainability? Do you look at the ESG principles of the funds in the companies that you advise me to invest in, for example? The more we ask for it, this is, you know, with everything. If we as consumers ask for something, they will give it to us.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Wow, it's so powerful, and it's definitely made me think a lot. Tell me a little bit, how did you get involved in sustainable investing? How did you get involved in investing to begin with, but then how did you make that shift over to sustainability?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think that, well, I started working in the financial industry for two main reasons. The first one was that I wanted to help people with their money. Essentially, we both know that money can be a very toxic topic for many people, because we tend to project a lot of things onto money that it hasn't really anything to do with money at all. And I wanted to help with that. But there was also this part of me that strongly believed that more money would make me happy. So I wanted to make money. But when I got into the industry, I was actually surprised by the amount of people who were in it only for the money. But, and climbing the career ladder, if you want to put it like that, I was quite successful. I mean, I was able to do a lot of things that many people would not. And I remember checking all my boxes of, you know, how much money I wanted to earn. I bought my first apartment. I went out eating Michelin stars, restaurants, and all of those things. And all my boxes were checked. And I just looked myself in the mirror and I said, well, shouldn't I be happy by now? But I wasn't. I was doing worse than I've ever had, ever. So I left for a while. I went traveling for around 3 months before I came back to Sweden, because I just needed to get some separation, because money can be very, well, numbers driven, like we were talking about. So I went traveling, and when I came back, this whole era of sustainable investing had started. So I started working with a firm who was specializing in sustainable investment here in Sweden. And it was so fascinating to me, because that was the first time where I could actually see how, okay, we can start moving money away from this destruction and greed and, you know, money being more important than human lives or the planet, towards the prosperity of our species, to all species, if we're being completely honest, and to making the world a better place. And that's why I got so interested in this. But the major problem was that going out to financial advisors, going out to banks and telling them, this is our fund, they're performing really, really well. And they said, well, people don't care about that. People don't care about sustainability. And That is because they don't know. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It is because the education and information has to be more public. So that's what I'm trying to do with my work, is just to make it more easy for people to understand and grasp.
Yeah, you have an amazing Instagram, which I love. You post all of this educational information, and I just love your approach to it all. I think it's so fantastic. What does it look like for you on an average day being an investor?
Well, I spend a lot of my time reading news. I mean, if there was a newsletter anywhere that could be like, this is sustainable investing, this is all you need to know, that would be awesome. But now I have to kind of dig through everything to find what I'm looking for. So a big part of my Instagram account is to share this news, to have people understand that in the most sunniest part of the world, right now, during last year was the first time where solar power became more profitable than fossil fuels. That means that, you know, as soon as the prices of solar power is low enough, everyone's going to make the switch.
Yeah, totally.
That's insane. We need to know that. But I didn't see that in any of the big news sites.
Of course not. Yeah, I mean, I just think that's just so exciting. And it's so exciting to hear from you that these shifts are happening, and that it's really, I think, only a matter of time until, you know, things like solar does overtake fossil fuels, and, you know, hopefully companies and people follow along with those trends, because it's hard to argue that that climate change isn't affecting the world. It's really hard for somebody to argue that. And I've had plenty of people try to argue with me, and I just don't see it. Like, we're not getting better. Things aren't getting better. So what else could it be?
I think it's very interesting that you guys still have that conversation, because whether it's real or not, what's the worst thing that can happen by changing the way we live our lives right now? If we're wrong, then all right, we still made very good choices. But if we're right, it's crucial that we make these choices.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is like such an awesome statement. Wow. Well, for somebody listening who is interested in sustainable investing, maybe they don't have a ton of money to get started. What are some of the ways that somebody can start investing sustainably, even if they don't have a lot of money to do so?
I mean, like I said earlier, I think the most important thing is to look for ESG when you look at your index funds or when you look at your funds. But there's also so many interesting other types of ETFs that are happening out there. If you want to invest in companies that do really well when it comes to, you know, diversity and inclusion, there are three ETFs that I found that specializes right on that topic. So it's all about what do you care about. And I think that that's one of the most fascinating things here. But overall, be consistent. I don't look at my investments every day. You shouldn't. It shouldn't really matter. Because one of the questions you have to ask yourself is, you know, will this be around in 10 years? Because that is when we can build generational sustainable wealth. It's not to trade in and out. That rarely works. It's to stay put and be an active owner in a company. That's what we need, because money is power, and we need more power in the hands of good people. That's what I always say. So you should do that. But also, I mean, it's beginning of the year. If you set up an automatic transfer to your investments account now monthly, if you do it this month, then you don't have to log in yet. You don't have to be consistent, because your automation is doing it for you. So it just takes you a few hours, maybe, depending on your level already, to make this shift. And then it will just cruise along its own speed. You don't have to do anything else. That's the beauty of this, I think.
Such great information, such great tips. Well, Sarah, please tell the listeners, where can they go to connect with you? I know you have an awesome free workshop online that talks more about money and investing. So tell people where they can go to find you.
Yes, of course. Well, you can find me at Instagram. My handle is @moneymeetssoul. And from there, you can find everything else. I have a free masterclass. I have a lot of things coming up during this year. I'm very excited. So yeah, I'd love to talk to you more there.
Well, what do you think? What do you think after listening to this episode? I know I'm going to be digging a lot more into the ESG ratings of companies that I've invested in. And personally, on a very personal note, if you don't follow Sarah on Instagram, you really need to. She shares so much information about investing, sustainable investing, that I feel like every day it's like a masterclass and I'm learning so much. So make sure you go over there and follow her as well. And she's got this great free masterclass on her website. So definitely check that out. So thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Listen, if you enjoyed it, do me a favor, share it with friends, family members, anybody you know. That's how we continue to grow this podcast and keep bringing in amazing guests like Sarah. So I'll see you back here in a few days for a new episode.
Hey, you.
Yes, you.
Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com. Well, you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.